Chapter 11. None to Help. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Daniel 11, verse 45. Daniel 11, verse 45 describes where the king of the north comes to his end. Although the King James Version implies that the papacy is in the glorious holy mountain, several other translations indicate that the verse is better translated to indicate that the papacy places his palatial tabernacles, war tents, between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. And he shall pitch his palatial tents between the seas and the glorious holy mount, Zion. Yet he shall come to his end with none to help him. Daniel 11, verse 45, Amplified Version. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. Daniel 11, verse 45, New King James Version. See also the American Standard Version and Young's Literal Translation. The glorious holy mountain is God's church, according to the following verses. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. The seas are the people of the world. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Revelation 17, verse 15. One of the questions most often raised about Daniel 11, verses 40 to 45, is whether or not the glorious holy mountain of verse 45 is the same as the glorious land of verse 41. Let us compare them. Both symbols contain the adjective translated as glorious, but if we drop the word glorious out of both phrases, we see a distinction made between a land and a mountain. A land and a mountain are two different entities, even if both are glorious. The land of verse 41 is where God's people and truth were placed in order to facilitate the proclamation of the final message of warning. The church, which was raised up to proclaim this message, is the holy mountain of verse 45. Both are glorious in their own way, but they symbolize two different entities, though they are closely related. A church and the country where the church was raised up are two different entities. This verse describes when humanity will finally be divided into two groups. The papacy is portrayed as being in the middle ground between these two groups of people, for the papacy has been the primary object used by Satan to prevent the people of the world from hearing the last message of warning. With the papacy's position in the middle, the people who reject the last message of warning are on one side, while God's people stand on the other. We read in Review and Herald, May 7, 1901, these words, There are only two classes in the world today, and only two classes will be recognized in the judgment, those who violate God's law and those who keep his law. Two great opposing powers are revealed in the last great battle. On one side stands the Creator of heaven and earth. All on His side bear His signet. They are obedient to His commands. On the other side stands the Prince of Darkness, with those who have chosen apostasy and rebellion. End of quote. Daniel 11 verse 45 describes the dividing line for humanity, illustrated by the palatial tents of the man of sin. On one side are those who reflect the man of sin's character of self-exaltation, while on the other side we see those who reflect the self-sacrificing love of Jesus. In this verse, the fundamental principle of the mystery of iniquity, self-exaltation, is symbolized by the King of the North defiantly planting his palatial war tents in full view of the universe and proclaiming himself king of those represented by the seas, while also preparing to destroy those who make up the glorious holy mountain. At the height of this arrogant act, the King of the North comes to his end, and none shall help him. In Strong's exhaustive concordance, we find the following definitions. Plant, number 5193, a primitive root, properly to strike in, i.e., fix, specifically to plant, literally or figuratively, fasten, plant, planter. Tabernacles, number 168 from 166, a tent, as clearly conspicuous from a distance, covering, dwelling place, home, tabernacle, tent. 166, a prime root, to be clear, shine. Palace, number 643, apparently of foreign derivation, a pavilion or palace tent, palace. The action of placing oneself between a message of God and its intended recipients is used in verse 45 and is also a common illustration in the spirit of prophecy. We read in Manuscript Releases, Volume 7, page 215, these words. Though being unable to expel God from his throne, Satan has charged God with satanic attributes and has claimed the attributes of God as his own. He is a deceiver, and through his serpentine sharpness, through his crooked practices, he has drawn to himself the homage which man should have given to God, and has planted his satanic throne between the human worshiper and the divine Father. End of quote. And then we read in Manuscript Releases, Volume 6, page 7, these words. Just prior to the coming of the Son of Man, there is, and has been for years, a determination on the part of the enemy to cast his hellish shadow right between man and his Savior. End of quote. And then we read in the Signs of the Times, March 20th, 1901, these words. He, the great teacher, was in the world. He was the light of the world. But Satan interposed his hellish shadow between him and the souls whom Christ came to save. End of quote. And then we read in the Review and Herald, May 27th, 1890, these words. We entreat of you who oppose the light of truth to stand out of the way of God's people. Let heaven-sent light shine forth upon them in clear and steady rays. End of quote. And then we read in Counsels to Writers and Editors, page 38, these words. Let no one run the risk of interposing himself between the people and the message of heaven. The message of God will come to the people, And if there were no voice among men to give it, the very stones would cry out. End of quote. And then we read in Volume 9 of the Testimonies, page 234, these words: "The Sabbath is the Lord's test, and no man, be he king, priest, or ruler, is authorized to come between God and man." End of quote. In the previous chapter, we discussed Daniel 11, verse 44, and the reaction of the king of the north to the message of Christ's righteousness as symbolized by the tidings which come from the east and north. That verse identified the fear and anger of the northern king as he recognized the loud cry message. As he launches forth to destroy and make away many, probation closes and the world has been divided into two classes. Verse 45 continues the description by portraying this division, but it also uses prophetic symbols which point to Armageddon described in Revelation 16. Between the seas. East of the Mediterranean Sea, southwest of the Sea of Galilee, and north of the Dead Sea is Megiddo. About 35 miles south of Megiddo is Jerusalem, while just about 10 miles northwest of Megiddo we find Mount Carmel. Between Megiddo and Jerusalem is Mount Gerizim and Ebal, the mountains of cursing and blessing. In this geographical setting, we see the final end of the papacy set forth symbolically in Daniel 11, verse 45. The biblical history of these locations is abundant with information symbolically pointing to the battle which ends with the second coming of Christ. Most Bible commentators locate the king of the north in Daniel 11, verse 45, in the very middle of this Old Testament geography. This geographic symbolism is, of course, identifying the Battle of Armageddon found in Revelation 16. We must be consistent with our application of prophetic rules, and although the allusion to Megiddo is easily seen in Daniel 11, verse 45, we must continue to seek to find the spiritual location of this verse, not the literal. In Catholicism, Protestantism, and even in Adventism today, we find men interpreting this verse as literal Israel. The geographical and historical information contained within this verse is describing where the entire world is spiritually located when the Battle of Armageddon gets underway. To identify the glorious holy mountain as literal modern Jerusalem would be inconsistent with the previous five verses, for they have all been understood in their modern spiritual setting. If one chooses to identify the glorious holy mountain in this verse as present-day Jerusalem, then consistency in prophetic application demands that all the symbols in this sequence should have literal counterparts. This is not possible, for Edom of verse 41 no longer exists as a nation or as a people. If we were to review this presentation of Daniel 11, verses 40 to 45, from the first until this final chapter, we would find that we have consistently applied the symbolic spiritual application to the figures and symbols in agreement with the understanding that these events occur after the cross. A wake-up call. We also have seen that the sequence of conquest by the papacy as it returns to its former position of power is the same sequence set forth in the book of Revelation. We also identified this sequence as an accurate repetition of the history portrayed in Daniel 11, 30-35, which Sister White identified as a pattern by which to compare the final events recorded in Daniel 11. While noting that the last scenes of prophecy would address the man of sin, we also identified that within the books of Daniel and the Revelation, there would be an increase of knowledge, which would prepare God's people to stand in these last days, and that this special increase of knowledge would include a knowledge about the man of sin. Not only did we establish some of the connections between these verses with the book of Revelation, but the prevailing theme of these verses can easily be verified by the events which are transpiring in the world today. We considered that our greatest need as God's people is for revival and reformation, and we noted that Sister White said this needed revival would come from an understanding found in the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. We began this study by comparing the events set forth in the first chapter of Testimonies, Volume 9, and found that there Sister White identified these final events with the fulfillment of Daniel 11. More sobering, though, is that as Sister White pointed to these final events of Daniel 11, she then stated that the final movements will be rapid ones. Brothers and sisters, the final rapid events portrayed in Daniel 11:40-45 began to unfold in 1989 with the collapse of the Soviet Union. It is high time that we awaken to the signs of the times, the testimony of prophecy, and our personal need of preparation. We read in the book Fundamentals of Christian Education, pages 335-336, these words: "But there is a day that God hath appointed for the close of this world's history. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Matthew 24, verse 14. Prophecy is fast fulfilling. More, much more should be said about these tremendously important subjects. The day is at hand when the destiny of every soul will be fixed forever. This day of the Lord hastens apace. The false watchmen are raising the cry, "All is well." But the day of God is rapidly approaching. Its footsteps are so muffled that it does not arouse the world from the death-like slumber into which it has fallen. While the watchmen cry, "Peace and safety," sudden destruction cometh upon them, and they shall not escape. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. Luke 21, verse 35. It overtakes the pleasure lover and the sinful man as a thief in the night, when all is apparently secure and men retire to contented rest. Then the prowling, stealthy midnight thief steals upon his prey. When it is too late to prevent the evil, it is discovered that some door or window was not secured. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, verse 44. People are now settling to rest, imagining themselves secure under the popular churches. But let all beware, lest there is a place left open for the enemy to gain an entrance. Great pains should be taken to keep this subject before the people. The solemn fact is to be kept not only before the people of the world, but before our own churches also, that the day of the Lord will come suddenly, unexpectedly. The fearful warning of the prophecy is addressed to every soul. Let no one feel that he is secure from the danger of being surprised. Let no one's interpretation of prophecy rob you of the conviction of the knowledge of events which show that this great event is near at hand.